Do not look back, but keep your eyes steadfast upon me. I am before you. I am not behind you. I am not going to go behind you anymore. Today was a new day, a new dawning. If you move forward, fine. If you didn't, fine again. I'm giving my children exactly what they're asking for. If they want nothing, they will receive nothing. If you want to see my goodness, you will see my goodness in all things. No matter what the situation is, my goodness is always there. I'm asking you to reach into the heavens right this second. I'm asking you to come up hither into my very presence and receive all that I have for you. Why do you hang on to the beggarly elements of this world? They have nothing to offer, but I have everything to offer you. My goodness is where it's at. My mercy is where it's at. I have called and I have called and I have called and I have wooed this generation and I am finished. I have moved on. This day was a new day, a new dawning, and I moved on. I let you exactly where you're at. If you want to be in the sand, you'll stay in the sand. But I tell you this day, you will not be able to turn around and relent because I warned you and I warned you and I warned you that this day was coming. Those who want more have now received more, and I will bring them forth, and they will do great and mighty works for the kingdom of light. For light shall cover this darkness that's on this earth, and light shall prevail. Darkness will not. My glory will be seen all over the land, for I truly have brought my glory into this land, and I am not taking it away. My glory is what's going to bring in this great harvest of souls. And you can walk in as much glory as you want. But I'm asking you to walk in all of my glory. Do not settle for second best. Do not walk around the fringes of my glory. Be right in the very center of what I'm doing. Children, you have eaten of the apple long enough. Throw it away. It has brought you total destruction. If you have not received me in my fullness to this point, you will never receive me in my fullness. You have what you have. If you wanted a little, that's all. Then you have what you wanted. If you wanted the fullness of who I am, then you have the fullness of who I am. You're like Eve. You ate a forbidden fruit and would not throw it away. I am saying to you now, at least keep your salvation, throw the forbidden fruit away, and walk in the goodness of the Lord. I am bringing forth a new generation of warriors. You do not understand the fullness, even though I tried and I tried and I tried to even force feed you. You would not understand the fullness of where I was taking you. The warriors will come forth and they will do the mighty exploits that I wanted you to do. You will see them tear down the kingdom of darkness. You will see them trample the enemy underfoot. And you will be jealous, but it will be too late. For I warned you. I warned you this day was coming. Thank you, Jesus.
Well, let's get ready to take up our offering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for everything you're doing. God, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you, God, that we sow into your kingdom this night. And may you multiply it for our good and your glory. Amen. So let's turn off our cell phones, put away any distractions, and let's not talk or interrupt while the teaching's going on.
Father God, I just truly do thank you for being an honest and upright God, upright Father, one who does not mince words, but you let us know exactly where we stand at every given second. I thank you for your word right now. I thank you, Father God, that you want the very best for all of your children. And you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And if we're your children, then we have to act like your children. And Father God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit is here this night and that the Holy Spirit is going to do a perfect work. He's going to speak exactly what you want him to speak, nothing more, nothing less. And Father, we lay everything before you tonight. We bring our hearts bare before you. And Father God, we thank you that you know exactly how to hold our hearts in your hands and to cause us to be all that you've called us to be. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. You know, we have to become one with the Father. I hear him say, we have oneness with him. There can't be any division. There can't be any separation of any type. We have to be him. You know, we always say, well, we need to be just like Jesus. But how many really are just like Jesus? If you read the book, it tells you exactly what Jesus did. And that's what you should have been gearing your life towards, is what Jesus did. And you should have been working on being just like him instead of making excuses why you couldn't be like him. God never gives us anything that we can't handle. All right, let's see. God said he wants us to walk in newness of life. Let's see what this says here tonight. My people must walk in newness of life continually, period. Not just today, not just tomorrow, but continually. There is no place in your walk with me that gives you the right to walk any other way. There is a better way to daily walk out your newfound place in my kingdom. I don't know if you know it or not, but God has taken us to a new place in his kingdom. The old has left. So there is a better way to daily walk out your newfound place in my kingdom. It is resurrection power. You will need this resurrection power if you are to win the lost for the kingdom. Resurrection power is a right that every child of mine can walk in. The enemy cannot take the power from you. As you learn to walk out this power, you will walk in the newness of life. We're going to need resurrection power if we're going to walk into miracles. And the reason why some of you are still sitting back in your pigsty is because you really never reached for resurrection power. You never really wanted the deepness of God in the first place. You had lip service, but you never had heart service. All right, I looked it up, and the phrase newness of life is used in the Bible to refer to a new state of life in which the Holy Spirit places us. It also refers to the new age, not new age as we know, new age. It also refers to the new age, the kingdom of God that comes with the person of Jesus. Paul calls choosing to partner with God walking in newness of life. He compares walking in newness of life to Christ's new life after being raised from the dead. That's in Romans 6:4. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Paul walked in newness of life. You know, he killed the Christians. Then when God called him, his whole entire life changed. And, you know, and he knew he was going to be persecuted. And he was going to be beaten. He knew he was going to spend his most of his life in prison. But he followed the, where God was leading. And he walked in newness of life. And God said, I understand that newness of life is foreign to my people. It is hard for them to get rid of the old man and allow the new man to emerge. But this must happen to show the lost and dying a new way of life. I've had many people say, I don't need the church, because he said, I can find a better life outside the church. In the church is so much backbiting, lying, and just junk that should not happen. We don't give them any, we don't show them anything to desire. You know, we just show them what they are. And they don't want that. They want something new. All right. I said, I understand that newness of life is foreign to my people. It is hard for them to get rid of the old man and allow the new man to emerge. But this must happen to show the lost and dying a new way of life. The downtrodden ones are already standing in sinking sand. See that? They need something solid to stand on. And children, as you walk in that newness of life, the resurrected life I have called you forth to walk in, it will give the lost hope. They will see through your eyes and they will comprehend that there is a better way, the resurrected way, the uncompromising way, the truth, and the light. See that? They're gonna see that there is truly a reality of living a better life than what they've been living. They will see love instead of hate. They will see joy and laughter instead of hopelessness. You will bring a bright light into their dark hole of despair. Yeah, this is all the stuff that you're going to bring to this lost generation out there. You will show them there is a better way to walk. They will begin to look to the church for hope when all else fails. Nobody looks to the church nowadays. They look for every place but the church. Why? Because they don't see any life in the church. They see the same darkness, the same death that they see on the streets. God goes on to say they will understand that there is life, true life, in the believers. They will see that they will see that unspeakable joy is flowing out of my people and will covet that joy. That thing I gave you, I handed out this morning about we're supposed to be 21 days walking in the joy. Sorrow has been their lifestyle for a long time, and they are ready for better things. The world wants something different. The church is really comfortable sitting in their little comfortable chairs, sitting in an old lifestyle that they don't want to change. But this new generation that God is bringing in is going to want change. I was sitting thinking today, God, you're going to have to raise up young people, because this new generation is going to be young people. And the young people know what goes on in their dark world. I don't know what goes on in their, I don't know the fullness what goes on in their dark world. But if God said he's going to get the unsaved, he's going to bring them into the house. They've lived that life. And they don't want to go back to that life ever again. And they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that they don't go backwards. And they're going to make sure to do everything in their power to bring others in. The church is not doing that today. The church is just not doing their job. And so God now has bypassed the church and he's going into the world. You know, wearing pants with holes in the knees really bothers me. But you know what's going to come into the church? Holes in pants, holes in shirt, probably no clothes, you know what I mean? Half dressed. And that's what God's going to bring in. But then God's going to clean them up. And he's going to bring them forth. Just because I have a little thing going about holes in your knees doesn't mean that they're unsaved. You know, so I have to learn to change with the times. I have to learn to accept that. And you're just like, we used to get all dressed up to come to church, but because we do deliverance during church services and we're on the floor on our knees more than we are standing on our feet, we went to jeans so we could work for God without worrying about, are we modest? You know, so we started wearing, thank you. And you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. So if we had to change to go in, like you say, work clothes, then we have to change with the times. And that doesn't mean go into their sin. That means understand what God is doing and learn what's going on with this younger generation. We made the younger generation by our lethargy, you know, not standing up for our rights, letting the government and everything else just do whatever they wanted to do. And now we have a group of kids that we want to throw in. We don't. But the church wants to throw along the road wayside. They don't even want them in their churches. I'm sorry, guys, but that's what the churches are going to be filled with. A bunch of ex-drug addicts, ex-alcoholics, ex-prostitutes. That's what's coming into the house of God. You know, when God was saying about eating of the apple, I saw the apple, all that was left was a core. The body of Christ had been eating that apple way too long. And it's messed him up. All right? God said, my remnant ones know what walking in those deep, dark tunnels of hopelessness is like. All right, so this is a remnant church. How many of you in here, you've walked those deep, dark, hopeless tunnels, valleys, whatever you want to call them? We know what it's like to be down in that valley of despair. And we know what it's like to keep, when God says, keep going, keep going, keep going. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. And eventually the light does appear as we kept our faith and as we kept walking in and out, knowing that God was there with us in that. But these new warriors God's bringing in, they're already going to know. You know, they're not going to have God say, keep walking, keep walking. They're going to be running. God's telling me it's going to be a bunch of wildfire people that he brings into the house of God. Some of you older ladies and men and or little whatever you are, you just better get out of the way or you're going to get run over because they are going to be on fire. Okay, my remnant ones know what walking in those deep, dark tunnels of hopelessness is like. I had you walk into places of darkness so you could be a true testimony of the goodness of God and would be able to relate to the masses. I never for one instance had you walk in dark places without a cause. That made me feel good when he said that. Yeah, because some of you have walked, like me, walked in places I've never walked this way. God, why do you have me here in this? You know, but there was always a reason. Amen. There were times when you would sit and weep and say, why, God? And even when I did not give you an answer, you stayed there until I brought you forth. My children will write many books of remembrance to help others in their valleys of despair. So the older people, you know, the older church, you're going to be writing your little books of remembrance. And the new people are going to read this, and then they're going to even understand more of what God has called them forth to do. You know, when God tells you to write a book, he wants you to write a book. And there's a reason to write that book, and there's a proper time to write that book. It's not when you feel like writing it, because he knows when it is needed. And the books should have been out. They're needed right now. Of everything that God has showed you, what you've had to walk through and how God brought you through it. All right. Are you writing a book, Catherine? Because God just said, it's in there, get it out. I didn't know that. Children, I've always gone before you to ensure you came out of the valleys in one piece. How many didn't quite believe that when you was in that valley? You were so messed up, you thought you'd never see daylight. I would not allow the enemy to fragment your minds. Some of you have been sifted more than one time, but you're still standing. Even though the siftings were intense at times, you stayed the course and furthered my kingdom with your testimonies of my faithfulness in the siftings. You know, the first time God showed me that scripture about, he told me you're being sifted, and then showed me that scripture. It meant something, but it wasn't until I had about 50 siftings under my belt that it became a reality of really what was going on in my life. You know, God allows Satan to sift us as often as he wants to, and he does that so he can prove to Satan that we are not going to break. And, you know, many times we had to call on God, God, I can't deal with this. Strengthen me. And he would. He always comes and he strengthens his children. He doesn't send us out there to be destroyed in the midst of a battle. You're always out there and been in that sifting stage to show the devil how strong you really are. Sometimes it's to show you how strong you really aren't. All right, God said, what is to come as far above what you can comprehend at this time? One day at a time is a request I made to help you maneuver through these uncharted waters. Remember when he told us, you just from now on, you walk one day at a time. And he said, uncharted waters. All right. Is uncharted waters, waters that's never been explored before. And God's told us we're going to go into places that the church has not heard of before, do things the church has not ever been asked to do before. I'm ready for that. I've been ready for that, and I let God do what he wants to do with me. How about you? You don't care what it is. If it needs to be done, God, I'm your man. I'm your woman. And I'm here to do whatever it is that you want me to do. This church is not for weak people. It just really isn't. This church, God is raising up warriors. You know, God always told me that this church was like David and the band of men that came into the cave with him. And I always say, but God, he made men out of them, and it didn't take 50 years to do it. I tell him that. But it hurts me when I see where you won't change. You won't let God do what he wants to do within you, because then he has to set you aside. He can't use you to the fullness of what he wanted to do with you. But you didn't have to be put aside. All you had to do was just listen to God and just do what he's telling you to do. It's not easy. I'm not saying this is an easy walk, and God tells us it's not an easy walk. But if you really and truly want to be a child's God, it's a walk you're going to have to walk. All right? And right now, if you think it's sleeping, it's going to get you to heaven, it's not. All right. God said you have to enter these uncharted waters with faith and expectancy that I have already gone before you and prepared a way in the wilderness, just as I did the Israelite children. Remember their journey and how I brought them safely through, even though the odds were against them. See, we forget about the Israelite children. The odds were totally, completely against them. But God said, I'm leading. You follow, I'm leading. And as they followed grumbling, God, and why did Moses not go? Why did he not go into the promised land? Because he was disobedient to God. I don't care how big the pole you are. If you're disobedient to God, you're not going to receive all that he has for you. So if some of you think, well, I'm the big wheel and I'm on top here. You know, I can make mistakes. No, you can't. No, you can't. God has made a way, and he's told you how to do it, and then you have to do it his way. God said, I am the God of the impossibles, and I want to do the impossible for all my children. I know the outcome of every event in your lives from the moment you breathe your first breath until you take your last breath. He knows everything about you. He knows when you're going to go on a side road trip. He knows how you're going to stumble and fall there. But he also knows how he's going to resurrect you and bring you back. All right? So if you go on a side road trip, don't stay there. Get yourself back on the path God has placed your feet upon and go. Keep going forward. God says, so if you know and believe that I am a good, good father, why would I allow you to be destroyed? Think on these things. Come forth in newness of life and bring others up to your level and beyond. The problem with the body of Christ is we don't have a level. We don't have a good level. And we can't bring them up anywhere because we haven't yet arrived there. With my second husband, God said, I'm asking you to marry him because I need to bring him to heaven, and I can't find another woman that will bring him to their level. You know, they always sink to his level. So how many of you have done that? Instead of you bringing people up to your level in God, you sink to their level. You have to think about that, because that will destroy you. All right, verse 30, about what chapter, where I'm at here. As for you, son of man, your people are talking together about you by the walls and at the doors of the houses, saying to each other, come and hear the message that has come from the Lord. My people come to you, as they usually do, and sit before you to hear your words, but they do not put them into practice. See that? People come here all the time and hear the truth, but they do not put the words into practice. Their mouths speak of love, but their hearts are greedy or just for unjust gain. Indeed, to them, you are nothing more than one who sings love songs with a beautiful voice and plays an instrument well, for they hear your words, but do not put them into practice. Verse 33, when all this comes true, and it surely will, then they will know that a prophet has been among them. Are you listening? If you're a prophet of God and you're speaking God's truth, they won't do what you're telling them to do. But one day they're going to realize that a prophet was among them and they missed God. You can't worry about what people think about you. What you have to be concerned about is, what does God think about you? And are you walking in the obedience of his word? Are you listening? Not trying to please man or woman, but trying to please God. And doing everything you know to do to make sure you're standing in right standing with him. I am so sick and tired of weak-kneed Christians. You sit in the house of God year after year after year after year, and you're still not changed. And you want everybody else to bow and scrape before you. I'm not going to do that no more. That's not my job. My job is to bring you up to my level. I'm tired of me coming down to your level, trying to get you up to my level. You're where you're at. And I'm not coming down to you. That might sound mean, but I'm just not coming down to your level. Because this church is moving forward. We're not moving backwards. And God has been telling us for a long time now, a couple years, I'm raising you up to be warriors. And if you're still whining and moaning and groaning and complaining, you're not a warrior. And I've often told you, I wouldn't want you in a foxhole with me. Because when I turn around in the midst of the battle, you would be gone. And I still mean that today. You need to learn how to fight for yourself so that you can fight alongside of the other warriors. That's not a mean thing that I just said. That is the truth. And get in the Word and you'll find that covered in the Word of God. And if you're worried about what other people think about you, you're already lost. You know, God said you don't have to vindicate yourself. He's told me that so many times, that I am going to vindicate you in due time. I don't care if God ever vindicates me. I know what I'm doing. I know what God's called me to do, and I'm doing what God's called me to do. I'm sorry for you if you don't understand what God's calling you to do and you think you have to have it yourself vindicated. Jesus wasn't vindicated, was he? No. He still did his work. He still knew who he was in Christ, in God. And see, that's the trouble. I want you guys to know who you are in Christ Jesus. If you know that you know that you know who you are, the devil cannot take you around the same mountain over and over and over again. I do get mad at Christians who should know better and don't, and just keep whining. I do get mad about that. And I know God's tired of that too. Because you can't move forward. You can't help anybody because you yourself can't move forward. So tonight, like Sister Barbara was saying, something shifted in the atmosphere this morning. And it did. It shifted when I was praying this morning. God is doing a brand new thing. He's bringing the newness of life. How are you going to raise the dead if you don't have any resurrection power in you? You're just like when I said to Catherine, go over to Elizabeth. I don't know what God's going to do. Just go over there and do whatever he tells you to do. So she was obedient, walked over there and stood there, and I saw her. And then God started working through her. And it was a wonderful thing he did. I did not know what God wanted her to do. But she knows that I hear God's voice, and she was obedient, and she just went. And Elizabeth got blessed. And this is what you have to be too. You have to know that you hear God's voice, and then you just have to move. I didn't know God was going to give that prophetic word. I was sorry he did, but he did. I didn't know he was going to do that, but you know, I always say, God, I'm a willing vessel. Use me. And he knows he can do that. You can't help what comes out of your willing vessel, right? Because if you turn yourself over to the Holy Spirit can speak it through you, whatever he wants, whatever God wants him to say, he's going to say. All right? Newness of life in Psalm 51:10. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. You don't have a steadfast spirit. It just go up and down with the times. But renew a steadfast spirit within me. In Romans 6:5-11. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. He's talking about Jesus. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stop there and just say something before I read this. Everybody says, you know, Chris Gore, everybody says Chris Gore, that he's really dogmatic. And they don't like him at work because he's, really why they don't like him at work is because he knows the rules. He knows how things have to be. He's not going to lose his job because you want to be lazy. So he just tells you like it is. He just standard just tells you like it is. I watch him a couple of times. Never change an expression on his face or nothing. And I said, God, he really is dogmatic. He said, no, he isn't. He just follows my voice. He said, if more of my people in my house would be like him, you wouldn't have the mess you have in the house of God. Preachers, you know, will just let you do whatever you want to do because they want you to think they're really nice. And he said he's doing exactly what I've called him to do. There, you've been vindicated. Sometimes I think, Christopher, quit. Because he can be adamant as adamant can be. But God said, leave him alone. He's doing what he's telling him to do. So, hear that, Teresa? Thank you. Revelation 3:11. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Now, God said, don't let anyone seize your crown. And years ago, I was about right there where Brenda was at, and I was preaching. And God said, daughter, don't let any man take your crown from you. Be watchful. And then I started being watchful, and the enemy had a little trap waiting for me. He was wanting to steal my crown. He wants to steal your crown, too. He does not want you to make heaven your home. He does not want you to fulfill the destiny that God has for you. You're going to have to learn to take care of yourself, you know, with God. But you're going to have to learn, I don't care who likes me or who doesn't like me. I know what God has called me to do, and I'm going to do it. You know, we can't be people pleasers anymore. We just can't be that way. We're in a new dispensation of time, and souls are at stake. Now, Revelation chapter 3, 7 through 13, it's about the Philadelphia church. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write these words, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. I know your works." And, you know, he's talking about people. He knows your works. Lost my place here. "I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door which no one is able to shut." If God has called you to do something, God knows what he's called you to do. He's opened that door for you to walk through to do it. And another man or woman cannot close that door. You can shut the door by just flat not doing it, but God is not going to close that door. "I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you." In other words, these churches who say they're all that and then some are not all that and then some, and they're putting you down. He's going to cause him to come and sit at your feet and listen to the word of God. Are you ready for that? You know, it's about time, isn't it? And they're going to see that God's been with you all along, even though they looked at you and said, "Well, you know, you don't have much. You don't have very many people. You don't have this, that, and you know, little power." But God's been with you. Take this as a personal, you guys. Verse 10 says, "Because you have kept my word about patient endurance." Oh, boy, patience was not in my endurance. "About patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth." Now, that's a good promise right there from God. We're not going to have to go through that junk, all right? "I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown." And then verse 12 is about walking in newness of life. "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name." Now, Revelation 3, 7 through 13 contains Jesus' letter to the church of Philadelphia. And I sort of thought this was pretty neat when I ran across. Philadelphia was a center for exporting the Greek language and culture into the interior of Asia Minor. Thus, it had a secular missionary calling. Okay? Just as the city had an open door to the interior, the church had an open door to spread the gospel. The Philadelphia church had an open door to spread the gospel. Jesus commends the church in verse 10 and promises to keep it from the tribulation period. He also instructs the church to retain the truth and promises each conqueror special recognition in the New Jerusalem. Now, this is sort of neat. Smyrna and Philadelphia are the only churches in Revelation not to receive any particular criticism. In case you people don't know, we are the Philadelphia church. But this, I really thought this was pretty neat. Smyrna and Philadelphia are the only churches in Revelation not to receive any particular criticism. The Philadelphia church's characteristics are similar to those of the church in the 19th and 20th centuries, which was a period of frequent revivals and missionary activity. That describes us, guys. You should get excited about that. You're in a special place with God. You're right in the very palm of his hand. And he's going to do great and mighty things through you. You know, we get together as a church, but we go out there individually. And God wants to use us individually also to do great and mighty exploits for him. All right. And what he's using now in the end times is a remnant of churches. You are part of a remnant of church. If you're sitting here tonight, you're part of a remnant church. You know, God has remnant churches everywhere. And when God called us to open our doors, he said, "You are a remnant church." And what does a remnant church do? Prepares the second coming of Jesus. So you have to go out there, tell the truth. Don't water it down. And get the people ready for the second coming of Christ. That's our mission. Bring in this harvest. and watch God move with great signs, wonders, and miracles. Then God said, the die has been cast. Everything is in order for the glory with miracles, signs, and wonders. Now, I believe that when the die has been cast, it means it's perfected, it's done, right? The die has now been cast and the inevitable has begun. That which has been predetermined commences to unfold. Peter later understood what he couldn't see at that moment in Acts 2:23. This man, Jesus, delivered over by the predetermined plan. Peter couldn't see that Jesus already knew he had to, remember he wanted to kill the people and everything. He did not understand. This had to happen. So you have to understand, people, things that you went through had to happen. Of course, there are things that we should never gotten into, but we did. They weren't planned, but you just went on a side road. But everything in your life, if you've been following God, has been predetermined. Even you and Nancy being married, even though you took you 10 years to understand that. It was predetermined. All right, delivered over by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. You nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men and put him to death. The die had been cast. Peter finally understood that Jesus had to be nailed to that cross. I want you to understand tonight, you had to go through every trial and tribulation you went through to bring you to the place where God could use you in the fullness of his power, where you were proven to the enemy that you would not buckle, your knees would not buckle, and you would not fall. God can't send you out there into this world if you're not already where he wants you to be, because you will give him a bad name. And like I said before, I'm tired of the body of Christ not growing up. I've told God, I don't want to teach nobody else that I've been teaching for 50 years. They should have grown up in the first 5. I want new people. I want new faces. I want people who are really hungry for something new. And you might not like it that I said that, but I don't know about you, but I come in here now. We've been, 40 years this year preaching the same message. I even said to God one time, I said, God, you're going to have to do something because the word is not making it. You're going to bring some sort of miracle because they just are not changing. But as you read the word, God will send the prophets out and said, they're not going to listen to a thing you say, but I want you to go and say it anyhow. So your part is, he's already told you, they're not going to change. You're not going to listen. But your part is to be obedient and give them that word, because they can never stand before God and say, I didn't know. Are you understanding that? And I don't care if people say that you're not called of God. If you know that you're called of God, then you're called of God. You get out there and you do what God's calling you to do. And don't even worry about being vindicated. You just get out there and give the world all that you have, all that God has given you, and watch what your Father will do through you. Amen. Let's get this younger generation saved. Let's get this harvest brought in. But you're going to have to determine your heart that you don't care what you go through. You're going to cry. You know, you're going to call Aaron up. You're going to say, Aaron, I really need prayer. I'm in a mess. Or you'll wake Alan up in the middle of the night and say, and I had to tell his wife, you know, I won't call him as often. But, you know, you need somebody that you can call and say, you know, I need my arms lifted up. My arms are heavy right now. This battle was really intense. So don't be afraid to do that. Don't be afraid to do that. But I only do it when I'm really in a battle. And I don't call to boo-hoo and carry on like a fool. I know when I know I have to fight. And so I fight and I fight and I fight. And I'm still fighting. I'll fight until the day Jesus takes me on home. But in the meantime, we're going to win souls. I'm tired of the lighthouse just sitting here. You know, we're missing something. We need to be strong in the Lord. God sends new people in. But when he watches some of the things you in here, you people in here do, They don't want that. That's what you're trying to get away from. They want God in all his fullness. They want to see the truth. They want to see you live the truth. Remember God said, if you're not going to live it, don't preach it behind this pulpit. And I'll never forget the time Brett, he stood down there. I thought, why is he standing down there? Because what he was preaching at that point, he was not living. I mean, he told me later on. But, and I forgot God even said that, but he took it very seriously. I wish the rest of the body of Christ would take God as seriously. If you're not going to live it, don't preach it. Don't make a hypocrite out of God. But God's calling us to live it today. Be a holy people. Be ones without spot and wrinkle. I don't care how young, I don't care how old you are. God wants to use you. The altar is open tonight for full resurrection power to flow through your being and for holiness to be an earmark for you, that you want holiness and you're tired of your weak mind that keeps telling you that somebody else needs to fight for you. I don't know about you, but I really don't want anybody else to fight for me. I know what my battle's all about. I might want you to agree with me in prayer, but I don't want you to fight for me.